the hippie to the hippie to hip hip the hopper. You don't stop rocking to the bang bang. The boogie say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie beat.
It's been 30 years since that song, Rapper's Delight, by the Sugar Hill Gang, hit the pop charts. It marked an enormous earthquake in pop music in the United States. And joining me now are three men who actually feel that history very much. Keith Shockley of the Bomb Squad, producer also of Public Enemy. Mm. Also, Paul Miller, most people now probably know him as DJ Spooky. And Mark Anthony Neal, professor of black popular culture at Duke University. He joins us from Duke. So first of all, let me start with you, Paul, a.k.a. DJ Spooky. You were probably about 9 or 10 when this song first came out, maybe. Tell me about when were you first aware of this song when it came out, and what do you first remember when you heard it?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that you really have to realize is D.C. has a style called go-go, which was really influential on early hip-hop. So you had Trouble Funk, Rare Essence, a lot of bands that really, like, everybody has sampled, the Beastie Boys, BDP, and so on. But when you heard, Rapper's Delight, it just spread like a virus, you know. Forget SARS or the swine flu virus, forget it. It's just, it was one thing, just one day it didn't exist, the next day it was everywhere.
Keith, when you first heard it hitting the pop charts, I mean, imagine you were probably aware. I mean, because it was alive in a lot of black radio stations and stuff before it actually crossed over onto the so-called official pop charts.
Yeah, it was. Mainly more so the DJs, the mobile DJs. And back then, we was mobile DJs. I was like 17, coming out of 11th grade, going into the 12th grade. So, I mean, we had rap records. But when that record went to mainstream, that's when everybody went crazy because, you know, it was based off a popular record, Good Times.
So the group that actually did this song, the Sugar Hill Gang, one of their members, Wonder Mike, was telling our partner, the BBC, about how he auditioned for producer Sylvia Robinson. And here's what he had to say.
I'm sitting there thinking, damn, this could be an opportunity of a lifetime. Speak the hell up. So I said, Miss Robinson, I rap too. She said, okay, let me hear what you got. And I started going off. I said, I started talking about the dog, the books, and the library, because that's where we were.
So Paul, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, he's talking about how he kind of made it up on the spot, the idea for it. But what is this song actually talking? What does it mean?
Well, at the end of the day, it's about celebrating everyday life. You know, it's about friendships. It's about having dinner at somebody's house. It's about just going down the street and watching everything around you, which is the beauty of early hip hop. And I think after the 70s, you got to remember, right, Urban Decay, you had Robert Moses who then crossed Bronx Expressway and wiped out a whole bunch of neighborhoods. People didn't have a place to gather. So the social space of the park, you know, DJ Kool Herc, the outdoor sound system, like Keith was saying, the mobile DJ really set the tone for that. Life, I mean, that was just about poetry, rocking it off of anything you would see or experience. And I think that was so beautiful about it is that it's something that resonated with everybody across the whole spectrum of American culture.
Regardless of culture. So Mark Anthony Neal, you're a professor of black popular culture at Duke University. And we often talk about the Rapper's Delight as really completely game-changing in pop music. Why? What did this song do that had not been done before?
I mean, the big thing is that, and like Keith, you know, I was a New York City cat. I was a Bronx cat. I remember hearing the song for the first time on New York City's WBLS. I was 13 years old, you know, freshman in high school. And I think for us, you know, those early days, when you think about hip hop, it was something that was still very much in the street, very much still in the park. The idea of the two turntables plugged into the light posts, you know, siphoning the electricity. And it was just one day, suddenly it was on the radio. It makes this transition from a live urban art form to something that's commodified and can be bought and sold and can be circulated around the globe.
So Keith, you know, before this song came out and became popular, we were talking about hip-hop, as you were talking about the mobile DJs, and it was primarily heard in black neighborhoods and in some Hispanic neighborhoods. But here's a quote from Michael Rapaport, the actor from New York City, who's definitely not, you know, brown or black.
The release of Rapper's Delight completely changed the way I listen to music for the rest of my life. My father worked at a radio station in New York City. At the time, it was called WKTU Disco 92. I was 9 years old, and my father brought home, and I still have it, a promotional copy. I just played the record once and didn't stop playing it for God knows how many years after that, and, you know, eventually drove my father crazy.
So, Keith Shockley, you produced the Public Enemy, you're of the Bomb Squad. So how much truth is there to the fact that this song helped bridge this gap and bring hip-hop over to the white radio stations?
It did a lot, mainly because, I mean, most of the lyrics on there was basically like, we used to take nursery rhymes. And that's how most of the lyrics on there were. Even though Big Hank's rhyme was based off of Grandmaster Caz from Cold Crush Brothers, that music, what happened was, it was so big in the streets from, like I said, from the mobile DJs. And then when commercial radio got to it, because of the simplicity and the familiarity of the nursery rhyme, like the hip, the hop, the hippie, that's almost like, you know, we used to have a rhyme like goes Jack and Jill went up the hill to have a little fun. Stupid Jill forgot a pill and now they got a son. So we used to have rhymes like that. So that's what's basically how, you know, how it became. So those rhymes was basically intuitive of how of the basis of raps really got to where it was.
So Mark Anthony Neal from Duke University, how did we get from there, from the Rapper's Delight, to the rap that many people today associate with gangster rap, with very violent lyrics, with often misogynistic lyrics? How did that happen?
You know, you have to remember the stuff that folks think of as mainstream hip-hop is really a small percentage of the stuff that's being produced. It's the stuff that people obviously have consciously marketed for various reasons. You know, the kind of spectacle of black criminality, the kind of spectacle of dysfunctional black masculinity. That's big business, sex and violence and drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And there obviously were, you know, folks within the hip-hop community, you know, rap artists that were willing to provide that kind of product. But much of it, you know, still remains, you know, outside of the commercial realm, outside of the stuff that you're going to hear on urban radio, you know, most of that stuff, you know, still is an advancement of the kind of energy and, you know, innovation that you saw in the very early days. I think we need to remember that it's much broader than the little slice of it that gets presented to us in the mainstream.
So Paul Miller, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, we have a quiz for you here. I'm going to play some music for you, and I want you to see if you can recognize these artists.
I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but we're like hot butter on a breakfast toast. Rock it out.
Amnésia, vou pra letra E. Dois bola gato, 69, bola 7, a bola da vez.
And moving your body while you're sitting in your seat, and then damn, to start doing the freak, I said damn.
I'll ride it out of your seat, then you throw your hands high in the air.
Okay, so Paul Miller, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, Keith Shockley of the Bomb Squad, recognize any of those voices?
Absolutely. First and foremost, that was Redman from Def Squad. If I remember correctly, that was...
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, about 1997. I was, again, you know, I was... There was a cover of a Brazilian pop hit that was a big cover in the 90s or early 2000s as well. That was in Portuguese. So
okay,
I DJ in Brazil and China.
That was Gabrielo Pensador.
Yeah. Okay. And that was a big hit.
Who else did you hear?
The original version. And there was
Sugar Hill Gang.
One of the cover versions that came out a little bit later, if I remember correctly. It might have been Grandma.
Sound like Melly Mel.
Yeah, Melly Mel. Yeah, like
was,
a cover.
Was the cover.
Yeah.
What we heard there, you were correct, Def Squad with Redman, then Run DMC, Gabrielo Pensador, Kumo D, and then, of course, the original version from the Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay, but now I got to say one.
Quick.
All right.
Paul Miller, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, also joined by Keith Shockley of the Bomb Squad and producer of Public Enemy. Also heard from Mark Anthony Neal, professor of black popular culture at Duke University. 30 years old today, the Rapper's Delight. If you have any response to that story, anything else that you've heard here that you want to respond to, go to our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924... we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.